Praise God. So hopefully you've been with us in our series. If not, we are in the Battle Ready series. We are in a war. Amen. We are in a spiritual war. There's warfare taking place each and every day. There's the enemy of your soul. He hates you. He hates the fact that you are a believer. He hates the fact that you are a Christian. He hates the fact that you represent Christ on the earth. And so we find ourselves in this constant battle. And so if we are in a battle, we need to be battle ready. Amen? That was a weak amen. We need to be battle ready.
Amen.
That's better. That was much better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Last week, we talked about putting on the belt of truth. And my wife used my poor excuse of a belt as an example, just kind of illustrating. But the fact that we need to buckle up ourselves, right? Buckle ourselves with the truth of God's word. There's a lot of untruths going on around us. We could look around in society and everyone tries to have their own truth, but the only truth that is real is the truth that is found in the word of God. That is what's true. That is what's absolute. That is what's steadfast. That is what you can build your life on, the word of God. Amen. Everything else will fail. Everything else will fall short. But the word of God will endure forever and ever. Amen. So we find ourselves back in Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. If you have your Bible phone, you can open up there. We're not playing video games or talking on Facebook or anything like that. We're just reading the Bible on your phone. You can do that. If you need a Bible, there's one on the back of your seat. And so my wife did this last week, and I thought maybe it was a good idea to do it again. So why don't we stand for the reading of God's word, and then you guys can be seated. So I know it's like stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. It's all good. We're going to get through this. You get your cardio, and you get the word of God. So you're going to be fully, holistically well by the end of this sermon. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against rulers and against authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that my words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Right, so we are looking at the second part of the armor that God provides, and the title of this one is "Let Righteousness Guard Your Heart." Let righteousness guard your heart. So we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we've talked a lot about this battle, and so the battle is spiritual by nature. The Bible says we don't wrestle against one another. Our fight is not with your spouse. Your fight is not with the person who cut you off this morning on the way to church. Your fight is not with flesh and blood, but the fight that we fight is a spiritual fight. And the fight that we fight is against the devil, the adversary of your soul. And as 1 Peter says, he comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so he prowls around, and he goes around, and he says, "Oh, can I devour this one? Can I devour this one? Or maybe I can work on this one. Maybe I can tempt this one a certain way. Maybe I can destroy this one. He prowls around like a lion. And if you've ever noticed the behavior of lions, they are a tremendous force to be reckoned with. And the way that they hunt and the way that they go after their prey, and they attack and they kill, they wait till that prey is alone and isolated by itself, and then they pounce on it. The devil, in a similar way, he wants you to be isolated. He wants you to be isolated away from the community of God's people so that you become easy prey. But he prowls around. But here's the thing. So the battle is spiritual. Therefore, the armor is also spiritual. And the Lord, he has given us this armor. So the armor comes from God that we have. But notice that the armor is not meant to totally destroy the enemy. In fact, the armor is given to us so that we can stand against him and withstand. He keeps coming and coming and coming, right? We're not destroying the enemy, but we're standing against, opposed to the enemy as he will continue to come. He will continue to come to the day that we die. We will continually fight this enemy. Amen. And then one day, amen, praise God, whenever Jesus comes back, his day is done, amen? But for right now, God has given us the armory to withstand his attempts and to withstand his attacks. So he prowls around, and we are commanded in the scriptures to resist the enemy, to stand opposed to what he comes against us with. As a child of God, as a man or a woman of God, you're not to bow down or you're not to give in to what the enemy wants you to do. You are to stand opposed. You have to stand opposed to what this world says is right and what this world says that, oh, yeah, you can do this. If it feels good, just do it. No, that's not what the Bible says. And so we stand opposed to that ideology. We stand opposed to the things of this world. We stand opposed whenever this world upholds sexual immorality. We stand opposed to that because God says no. God says this is not right. And so we stand against, we stand firm, and we stand with the armor that God has provided. So he enables the believers to stand, and he does this with the armor that is provided. And so the word stand has a definition of being in a safe and a sound mind. You're unharmed, you're steadfast in mind, you're ready and prepared, you're not wavering. You're in this battle position where you are ready. You are steadfast, like bring it on, right? Because you know who your God is. You know that your God is so much greater than any attempt that the enemy may come against with, any attack that he may come against you with, that you know that God is greater. So therefore, you can stand. You can stand in that confidence because God is on the inside of you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the devil is no match for a child of God. Amen? Whenever you're standing in the armor of God, whenever you are clothed with the armor, you are no match. I mean, the enemy is no match. But if you do not put the armor of God on, you are no match for the forces of evil. You are no match for the, again, this is a spiritual enemy that we are fighting against. You are fighting against demons. You are fighting against fallen angels. You are fighting against principalities and darkness. You are no match on your own strength. You need the armor of God that he gives you with. Because again, this is a spiritual battle that you are fighting. You're fighting not only for you, but you're fighting for your kids. You're fighting for your grandkids. You're fighting for generations. You're fighting for your neighbors. Stand therefore, as the word says, armed and clothed in the armor of God, this breastplate of righteousness that we're going to talk about. So this spiritual enemy requires spiritual weapons. We are no match on our own strength. We need God's armor that he provides. And so the breastplate of righteousness, it protects the believer. And we're going to look at how it does that. It helps us first of all, let's define what is righteousness. It's being in right standing with God. So how does a breastplate of righteousness help us to be protected? And it's like this. The enemy is said to be, in Revelations, the accuser of the brethren. In other words, he accuses you before God each and every day. He says, look at, he's like a tattletale, you know, just like that tattletale that you just cannot stand. He's like, hey, you see this person? Do you see this person? And do it in demon voice. You see that person? Oh, yeah, he's not following you, God. Oh, let me strike him. And so he's the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses you before God each and every day is what is found in the book of Revelations. But if you're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, if you are in right standing with God, guess what? His accusations fall short. He cannot accuse you because whenever God looks at you, he's like, devil, I don't know what you're talking about because I see the righteousness of Christ Jesus imputed to him through faith and through salvation. Amen. And so whenever God looks at us, he sees he's clean. He's pure. He's whole. He's standing. He's in right standing with God. He is made righteous. And so we have to have this breastplate of righteousness. And so one part of it is the fact that Jesus imputes to us righteousness. In other words, we cannot bring about our own righteousness. I cannot do enough good things to earn this righteousness. I cannot stand up, sit down enough times to be in right standing before God. I cannot do enough works to earn this righteousness. The only way that this righteousness is imputed to me is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by grace, which means it's a free gift, and it's by faith, by believing in what Jesus did for us. And we sang about it earlier. We sang about the blood. We sang about the fact that it was his blood that covers our sins. Do you believe that? Have you received that in your life? Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of your life? Do you believe that he came to this earth, that he died on the cross for your sins so that you can be forgiven and that he rose again on the third day? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's the Son of God? The Bible says, according to your faith, you are saved. Amen, is what it says in the book of Romans chapter 10. And so this righteousness is imputed to us because of our faith. It's much like anybody ever wanted a brand new shiny car, right? And so we all do, like, oh, yeah, that would be really nice, right? Just to have a brand new, and there's nothing like it. The smell of a new car smells like brand new leather. I mean, the tires are brand new. It's everything's just spick and span. It's amazing, right? So you go, you have your eye on this particular car. You do all the research. You're like, man, this is the car that I want, right? And so you finally muster up the courage, and you go to the dealership. And one of the first things that the dealership will do is that they will run your credit. And so, you know, first, you might test drive the car first. You might say, oh, I really like this car. I've seen it online. I read all the reviews. It's a 5-star. Everybody loves this car. I love this car. I really want this car. Can I take it for a spin? So the guy is going to run your license plate, your license, and make sure that, you know, you have a pretty good record, a driving record. You're not going to, like, demolish the car. And then... You come back, and then you're like, man, I really love the car. I really want the car. And so he runs your credit. Now, if your credit's like a 300, the guy's going to look at you like, look, I'm sorry. We just can't help you because you either have unestablished credit or, you know, maybe you didn't pay your bills on time. Whatever the case may be, your credit score is 300. And that just doesn't qualify for a loan for this brand new shiny car that you want. And so all your hopes have been deflated. This aspirations, the hope that you had in obtaining this car falls short. But then let's suppose that someone with a credit score of 850 decides to join accounts with you. In other words, they want to be a co-signer for you so that you can get this brand new shiny car. They're willing to put their name at risk so that you can obtain this car. Now, all of a sudden, the banks look at not the 300, but they're looking at the 850 and like, oh, yeah, whatever car you want this car, we'll give you this car. You want that car? Let's even take it up a notch. Let's trip it out with leather and rims and everything else. We can really make a deal. Why? Because of association. who you're associated with, right? Your account. So now you're not associated with this 300, which was a result of your works and all that you can produce. Now you're associated with the 850, which is totally done by somebody else outside of you and your capabilities. When in terms of salvation, in terms of Jesus Christ, what has been imputed to us is like that 850 credit score, where we can only, our works, the Bible says, are as like filthy rags. Our works, our righteousness is like that 300 credit score. It's worth nothing. Our righteousness is worth nothing. But then Christ says, I'm going to put my name on you. I'm going to impute to you my righteousness. Now all of a sudden it's like, wow, you are a child of God. You get in not because of your works and all that you have done. You get in by the blood of the Lamb. You get in because of what Jesus did for you. And when God sees you, he sees the imputed righteousness of Christ Jesus over your life. Isn't that awesome? So you're not only driving a shiny car now, but now you have Jesus, which is so much better than a shiny car. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And thank you, children, for backing me up. Thank God for my kids who are in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so we see that part of this is this imputed righteousness that God provides for us through Christ Jesus. But then there's also this aspect of righteousness which requires us to walk righteously, which requires us to actually do the right thing. So why would Paul say, you know, that we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness, which requires some kind of work on our part? Isn't righteousness imputed to us through Christ Jesus? Then why are we to put on this armor? Why is the work necessary for us to put on? And I believe he best explains it in Romans 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you. But he talks about the fact that whenever this imputed righteousness comes to you, is that your desires begin to change. Like you no longer want to offend God. You no longer want to live a life that is hurtful towards him. You want to live a life that is righteous. So he talks about the fact that you have died to your old stinking flesh. You know, just as Jesus was crucified and he was buried in the ground, and that you too have died to your old flesh, the old person. We sing that song, I don't talk like I used to. I don't say the things that I used to say. I don't do the things that I used to do because there's something different about me. Amen. And that must take place in the life of a believer. There has to be this living out righteously. We can't just live like the devil Monday through Saturday and then come to church and be like, oh, God is so good. God is so awesome. And then you go back to our old sinful lives. There's a righteous requirement. There's a righteous living requirement. And so because I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and my old man has died, and behold, a new man has come alive, I want to do the things that are pleasing unto God. I want to live a life that is righteous before the Lord. Amen. So we see that there is a righteous requirement. There is a requirement for us to live righteously and doing the things of God, being in right standing with God. For you know, whenever you are living righteously, you're doing the right things. Again, you take away the weapon that the enemy has against you, his mouth mainly. He can't lie about you because you're doing the right things. He can't accuse you because you're doing the right things. More than that, you represent God here in the earth. And so whenever you're living righteously and you're doing the right things, you go on your job and people notice that. People notice, oh, wow, you're different. Something different about you. I don't know what it is. Something different about you. Like you didn't say the F word right there. It was supposed to be right there. Everybody knows it's supposed to be right there, but you didn't say it. And there's something different about you. There's a change. There's an internal change that's going on the inside. Because we are ambassadors, as Paul says, we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. As an ambassador, I represent the kingdom of God here on the earth. So that's another reason why we ought to live righteously, is because we represent the kingdom of God here on the earth. Now, we talk about living righteously. For a second, for a moment, I want to talk about the consequences of not living righteously. And the Bible is full of examples, but the other day I was reading, as we was going through our navigational plan, I was reading in the Old Testament, and the book of Leviticus, the Lord can speak through the book of Leviticus, it's amazing, chapter 26 begins to really lay out some consequences for the children of Israel who did not walk righteously. And so let's jump into this, right? This is going to be fun, right? Just to kind of to prick our flesh and to kind of get ourselves in line here. And so some of the consequences for Israel not walking righteously. Let's look at it. It says, but if you will not listen to me, this is God speaking to his people, and he says, but if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, if you spurn my statutes, and if your soul abhors my rules, so that you do not do all of my commandments, but break my covenant, then I will do this to you. All right? And I'm not going to read the whole entire chapter because it's pretty deep and it's pretty heavy, but I do encourage you to read it on your own. But I'm just going to kind of point out a few things. He talks about there will be disease. He says there will be fever. He says you will be defeated by your enemies. He goes on to say, if you continue to do this, continue to rebel against me, if you don't walk in obedience to what I've called you to do, you're going to be fearful. He even talks about this idea that you're going to run from your enemies even whenever you're not even being chased. You're going to be so fearful that you're just going to run even whenever you're not being chased. He says, there's going to be such instability in your life. I'm going to bring about a drought and a famine, he goes on to say. And this drought and famine would be so severe that loving mothers would turn on their kids and eat them. This is the judgment that God would pronounce over Israel for their idolatry and their stubbornness and their unwillingness to put on righteousness and to live righteously. He says, you will eat your children. That's harsh. That's hard. Not that funny, but it's pretty harsh. It's pretty hard. So he talks about drought and famine. He talks about pestilence. And he talks about national desolation. He says you'll be powerless before your enemies. He has this word. He even says you will not be able to stand against your enemies. Interesting. Because we're talking about putting on the breastplate of righteousness and how the breastplate of righteousness causes us to stand against our enemies. You continue to disobey the Lord, but he's telling the children of Israel, you won't even have the strength to be able to stand against your enemies. Wow. That's a pretty brutal judgment. And if you understand the story of Israel, you will understand that this came about. This took place. Like God was prophesying this to the people of Israel. He warned them over and over again to turn from their wicked ways, to turn from their sin, and they would not turn. This judgment came about. The famine was indeed so severe whenever the Babylonians laid siege against Jerusalem. It said that mothers who once loved and cared for their kids became selfish and ate for themselves. This was the judgment of God. We don't talk about this, right? We don't like to talk about this side of God. But God is a holy God. God is a holy and perfect and righteous God. And perhaps, you know, thankfully, we live in a, people like to call it a dispensation of grace. Where you know, because we have the cross, because we have Jesus, he forgives us of our sins, right? And he is longing to do that. But at the same time, I do still believe that there are consequences whenever we choose to live unrighteously. Whenever you continue to choose sin over what the Bible says. There will be consequences. I'm not saying it's going to be that severe, but I'm saying there will be consequences if we continue to live in sin, if we continue to not put on the breastplate of righteousness. So whenever we live in such a way where we're sinning all the time and we're not obeying the Lord, your vital organs are exposed, your heart, your lungs, all your vital organs that righteousness protects is now exposed because you're continuing to disobey the Lord. You're continuing to live according to your own ways, and you make yourself an easy prey for the enemy. You know, like if you are in combat, if someone's coming at you with a sword, more than likely they strike in this area right here. You know why? Because it's the most easy spot to hit. It's most visible. That's where all your vitals are. If one blow to your chest like that, can end it all. That's why we see the necessity to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? So we have to walk in righteousness. And again, so this righteousness that comes from Christ, it's the imputed righteousness that we have. And we put it on by walking in faith. We put it on by making the right decisions each and every day. We put it on by standing opposed to sin, standing opposed to the enemy, standing opposed to what this world says is good. We put it on by standing in truth of the Word of God. Amen. So righteousness, it comes from Christ, and it must be put on. When righteousness fails, this is one of my last points. When our righteousness fails, I want you to hear the good news today, because you might be feeling, wow, that's pretty heavy. I don't know if I can really walk this out. I don't know if I can really live a life righteously before the Lord. Here's the good news this morning. When our righteousness fails, God's righteousness prevails. Whenever our righteousness is as filthy rags, God's righteousness prevails. It is a perfect righteousness that God provides for us. And so we obtain this through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the imagery, I just want to, for a moment, read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. And this is a very interesting passage because it depicts God himself putting on the armor. Whenever he's looking at man and he's seeing all the failures of man and all that it has led to, and then he makes this decision to put on the armor himself. Let's look at it. In verse 1 of Isaiah 59, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sin, has made a separation between you and God." If you wonder why there's this separation between you and the Lord, it's because of your sin. He said, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not even hear you." You feel like your prayers are not being answered. A good possibility is that you are living in sin and you need to repent. He says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness." And so he goes on and on and on in the book of Isaiah chapter 59. He begins to really depict the fallen state of Israel and all that they have encountered at this point. And it's just like, it's deplorable. He's looking, and then he finally makes this statement. He says, "Is there not a man?" Let's look at it in verse 15. He says, "The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. There was no one who was living right. There was no one who was standing opposed to what is wrong. There was no one who could intercede for the weak. There was no one." He says, "Then his own arm brought him salvation." And when we think of God's right hand, we think of God's right arm, we think of Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God. And so he says, "Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in a zeal as a cloak. And I say this to say this. Whenever our righteousness fails, the righteousness of Christ Jesus does not. Amen. And so God looks at the state of man. He says, there is no man. There is no one who is able to stand opposed. I will do it myself. And so God sends his son Jesus. He sends him to the earth. He sends him to live this earth, and he did so without sin. The only person that walked this earth and did so without sin. None of us in this room can raise our hand and say, no, Pastor, I walked this life without sin. You just lied, so you're a sinner. All right? None of us can say that. Only Jesus can say, I walked this life. He was tempted just as you and I were tempted, but yet he did so without sin. Perfect righteousness that is required by God for us to be atoned before him. So God himself puts on the armor through Jesus Christ. He says, look, this is the righteousness that I require, and I am giving him to you. Will you receive this by faith and by grace? Amen. It's a free gift that God gives us. So we are to, in order to be battle ready in this time, in this day and age, we have to be clothed with the armor of God. The armor protects us. It protects our vital organs. It is a spiritual armor. We fight a spiritual battle against a spiritual enemy, the forces of hell. And so, therefore, we are equipped with the spiritual armor, this breastplate of righteousness, which is imputed to us by Jesus Christ, simply by believing in who he is. Amen. If this morning you feel like you're in this place and you don't feel like you have that armor on, you haven't been living righteously. Maybe you know, as we are reading Leviticus, and you feel that. You feel the consequences for your sins. You feel that everything just seems to have fallen apart. Now, I'm not saying everything is going to be peachy and rosy whenever you're living for the Lord, because it won't. You will endure hard times. You will endure difficult times. But there's another level. If you're living unrighteously before the Lord, if you have not put on that breastplate of righteousness, your life is just going to continue to spiral out of control. Righteousness protects us. It enables us to stand and to stand firm. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Lord, today, we want to thank you for the armor that you provide. Righteousness that is imputed to us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, Lord, today, we ask, O Lord, that you would cleanse us of all of our sins. Perhaps you're in this place and you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have never made him Lord. You've been living for yourself. You've been selfish. You've been self-consumed. You've been living in sin. You've been living unrighteously. My friend, there are consequences for such a lifestyle. It will eventually catch up to you. But the Lord is loving. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is full of love, and he desires that none should perish, but that all should come into eternal life. And he's calling out to you today. Will you believe in Jesus? Will you confess him as your Lord and your Savior? Will you surrender to his lordship today? He's calling out to you because he loves you with an unconditional love. He wants you to put on this breastplate of righteousness. Begin to walk in the righteousness that is imputed to you through Christ Jesus our Lord, where you don't have to walk around defeated in shame and guilt that the enemy tries to put on you, because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus because of what he's done. You're protected as a child of God from his schemes and from his attempts to destroy your life. But you're in this place and you have not made that decision, we invite you to do so this morning. So with no one looking around, every eye is closed, if you need to get right with God this morning, we ask that you would stand to your feet. If you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to stand to your feet. Don't be worried about what everybody else will say about you. There's only one person that we should be concerned about right now, and that is, are you in right standing with God? Are you righteous? And if not, we're extending this invitation to you so that you too can become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we give you a moment. Maybe you don't feel bold enough to stand, but maybe you would repeat this prayer. I'm just going to lead this prayer, and I'm just going to ask everyone to just say this prayer with me. And if you're saying this for the first time, know that it begins with a prayer. Know that it begins with a heart change. It begins with a yes. But this is a lifestyle of putting on the breastplate of righteousness each and every day. That tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and say, I'm living righteously for the Lord. I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And you're going to wake up 10 years from now, and you're going to say, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. This is a life decision. And so, would everyone just repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I come before you as a sinner, and I repent of my sins. I ask that you would be Lord of my life, and that from this point forward, that I would live for you. I put my trust in you. I declare that you are the Son of God, that you died and rose again for my sins. So today, I put on the breastplate of righteousness through faith in your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you said that for the first time, if you confess your sins before the Lord, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess and believe that you are saved, amen, that whenever that devil comes against you and tries to accuse you and tries to remind you of your past, that you have the breastplate of righteousness and you can tell them, I am a child of the living God, amen. I have Christ's righteousness imputed to me, and so no accusation that comes against you can stand, because you are a child of the Most High God. Amen. Amen.
And then would you stand to your feet this morning as we close out? And would you just stand up in the name of Jesus? If you made a decision this morning, put on the breastplate of righteousness, Pastor just said about in Leviticus 26, it says, punishment for disobedience. But can I read to you the beginning part of that chapter? We read it this week in our Bible reading plan. Blessing. Somebody say, turn to your neighbor and say, a blessing. There is a blessing for obedience. In Leviticus 26, and I want to speak this blessing over you. If you walk with the breastplate of righteousness and you observe God's commandments and do them, God says, then I will give you the reins in their season. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us, because we're like, we go to the grocery store. But just hear me out. It says, then I will go and give you rain in season, and your land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall last to the time of your grape harvest. And then it says, and the grape harvest shall last to the time of the sowing. It just means in every season of your life, God is going to speak a blessing over you if you walk in obedience. And you shall eat your bread to the full, and you will dwell in your land securely. I will give you peace, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. If you are walking in a fear this morning or a concern, you can just be blessed by the Lord as you walk with the breastplate of righteousness. He says, and I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you before the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat of long ago, and you shall clear out the old and make way for something new. Are you waiting, making way for? You walk with the breastplate of righteousness. God will clean out the old from your life, and he will make way for something new. That encourages my soul. God says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. He says, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God. Go out this morning and walk in the righteousness of Christ, the one that we didn't deserve, but then also putting it on every morning. And when we do, the God of heaven promises he's going to walk with you, my friend. Go and be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Go and live out that blessing in the name of Jesus. We love you guys.